This morning, we're going to talk about a subject that in order for any congregation to be successful, it has to find its way into the membership. It cannot be in short supply. It cannot be mediocre. But it must be something that abounds among the brotherhood. And that is brotherly love. Brotherly love. You know what brotherly love is? As a member of this congregation here at Village Creek, do you understand the significance of brotherly love? Being concerned about one another. Sacrificing for one another. Loving one another. That is brotherly love. And when you look in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Where does brotherly love originate from? God. God. Not from man, but from God. And Paul is pointing this out. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And brethren, if it comes from God, then we cannot ignore it. We cannot try to shortchange it. We cannot pretend that it is not placed upon us, because God says that it is. Love one another. Do we here at Village Creek understand the significance of this verse of loving one another? I can tell you that God knows. When you look at the seven churches of Asia, God knew everything that there was to know about those seven churches, didn't He? He said that they had a reputation. He understood the good and the bad about each one of those congregations. Same thing applies here at Village Creek. God knows what this congregation is made up of, the attitudes of the members here. And so the question, very plainly this morning, is this: do we have brotherly love? We understand the need to, but do we put it into practice as we should? I don't think that there is a member of the church that does not understand the importance of their feelings toward their brethren. But now, it's one thing to understand. It's one thing to be mindful. But now it is something else to put it into practice. And that's the key question. I can know that it is wrong to break the speed limit, but I may continue to break the speed limit. I can know that it is wrong to steal, but yet I may steal. And the same thing applies in regard to this. I may know the importance of brotherly love, but do I practice it? Do the other members of this congregation feel like that you have love in your heart toward them. In Romans 12 and verse 10, Paul said, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. You see the meaning of that verse? We are to have feelings for one another. You know, you think about that word affection. That's sort of how a romance starts between a male and a female. They begin to feel affection one toward the other. And that feeling continues to grow within them. That's what he's saying here about brotherly love. He said, you feel this feeling toward your brethren, and it continues to grow until there is brotherly love. First time that I laid my eyes on Sharon, I can't say that I loved her then. She caught my attention. And in process of time, I began to have feelings toward her. And that eventually reached the point to where I thought I loved her. And I wanted her to be my wife, but I didn't know what love was in 1970. But in 2016, I do know what love is toward my wife. She has earned my love over and over and over again. This is brotherly love. By our actions, how we conduct ourselves, we show either brotherly love or a lack of it. Just that plain and simple. Paul said, do it. Not a choice, but a must. Let me tell you something, brethren. If we're going to make it to heaven, Paul said this is not a choice. We can't say, well, I'm going to love Kurt, but I'm not going to love Mike. No, I don't have a choice. Paul says it's a must that I love both Kurt and Mike. I don't have a choice. It's a must as a child of God. Brotherly love. Feelings, concern, consideration, attitude. All of these things play out under the heading of brotherly love. Now, this may be the most important question that'll be asked in this lesson this morning. Do your brethren know you love them? And I'm talking to every one of you now that's a member of the church here. Do your brethren know that you love them? Have you showed them? Have you told them? Are they aware of it? What's wrong with you going up to another brother or sister and saying, I love you? I want you to know that. I love you. What's wrong with that? Not a thing in the world. And you know what? It seems to me like that we try to hold back our feelings. It's sort of like we're ashamed to let our feelings come out as to how we feel toward one another until many times it is too late. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. That person dies. And you wonder, I wonder if that person knew how much I love them. Why didn't you tell them? I have had husbands and wives ask me at the death of their spouse, do you think they knew how much I love them? I don't know the answer to that. Did you tell them? And brethren, what's wrong with us letting one another know how we feel toward one another? I want us to do some reading this morning. Let's go over to 1 John 4. I dare say that John is probably known as the man of love. We're going to begin in verse 7, the writer of love. He said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." Now watch this. "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also." Now, brethren, John couldn't make it any plainer, could he? We say we love God, then we are to love one another. If we say we love God and we do not love one another, we make him a liar. Brethren, we can't do that now and be right in the sight of God. You cannot know God if you do not love as you should. Example. Your marriage will never be as good as it should be, could be, if there is not that love between that husband and wife. If that love is not there, that relationship will never be what marriage is intended to be. And what a blessing it is for a husband and wife to love one another and help one another, comfort one another, console one another. That's what we're to do as brethren. But now the question is, do we do it? Do we do it? In John 13:34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." You see that? Love one another. Does love affect how I treat you? You better believe it does. You know, I'm going to use Mike as an example. I have a lot of feeling toward Mike. And I dare say that Mike could do a lot of things to me, and because of how I feel toward him, I wouldn't think that much about it. But now if there's somebody else that I may not have those same feelings toward, and I'm saying that's weakness on my part, and you let them do something to me, and I immediately go on the defensive. Why is that? Love. Love. The same love is not there as it should be. And that's the human side of us, brethren. And it's something that we have to work on. I do. I have to work on it. Paul said, do nothing by partiality, is what he told Timothy. He said, you try to treat everybody the same. Now, that's hard sometimes. I'll be the first to admit that. Some people are easier to like than others. Some people just have a way about them that you just feel comfortable being around them, and it's easy for you to show your feelings toward that person. And then there is that other individual that it's not that easy. You have to work on it. What did Mark Twain say? There goes an enemy of mine. I think I'll try to make him a friend. Do we do that? Or if we have a problem with a brother or a sister, what do we do? Do we soften those feelings of whatever it may be with love? Or do we immediately go about to try to disparage that brother or sister? Love. Let me tell you something. Love will solve a multitude of problems. Any married couple, they're going to have their problems, and they're going to have their hurt feelings, and they're going to have things that may put that marriage to the test. But you know how they deal with it and overcome it? Love. Love. You know, I love her enough that I can go on from this. I love him enough that I can go on from this. And I stand here this morning knowing probably full well that some of the things that I have said in lessons maybe have not been received the way that they should have been. Maybe my attitude wasn't right. But understand, brethren, I'm just a man. I'm not perfect. Never have claimed to be. And I understand that I am susceptible to the weaknesses of the flesh. But don't you ever doubt for a second that love is not within my heart. I do not want to see one single solitary person in this congregation lose their soul. Not one. And if I don't come across that way, then you are misunderstanding me. Does love affect how I feel toward you? You better believe it. Sure does. Sure does. Has anybody ever said something that just by the way that they said it, that you could tell that it didn't come out really maybe the way that they intended for it to. And if you were of the frame of mind that you could have took it the wrong way and maybe got your feelings hurt. Sometimes things don't always come out the way we want them to. But you know what? If love is there, that'll pass. That'll pass. Love affects how we feel toward one another. You better believe it does. And as brethren, it ought to. We're not Jim Jones out on the street. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are joint heirs together. And if we cannot get along here upon this earth, how are we going to get along in heaven? Somebody's not going to be there. If we can't get along here, and there is discord among us, then something's not going to work out in heaven. My patience toward you is involved in this. And I have told you many, many times that patience is not one of my strong suits. And it's not. And I try, and I try, but I've got a son that I try to have patience with, and it's just seemed like beyond my ability to. Life tests our patience over and over again. But the culminating factor is based upon the word love. If I love you, it is easier for me to be long-suffering with you. But now, if I don't care for you the way I should, then I'm going to be quick to speak and quick maybe to do things that later on I may regret. You know, Paul was a wise man. And in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, he made a statement. He said, "Be ye angry and sin not." He didn't say it was a sin to get angry. But he said, what you do when you're angry, how you react when you're angry, that's the test. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Get over it. That's one thing I love about my wife. She can get mad, and that red hair can stand right straight up, and in 30 minutes' time, it's back right down in place, and everything's all right. I wish I could do that. She can blow like the atomic bomb in 30 minutes. It's just as peaceful as it can be. I can't do that. Or I don't do that. You know, I tell myself, if I'm going to go to the trouble of getting mad, I'm going to stay mad a while. That's not a good attitude. That's not what Paul's talking about. He said, get it out. Get rid of it. Do you understand love, brethren? And I mean this is a serious question now. I'm not just throwing this in. Do you understand love? I have had young men and women that I was going to marry, and we would sit down a few days before the day that they were going to marry, and we'd talk. And we would talk about the word love, and it was obvious to me that they didn't have a clue as to what the word love meant. You know what they were operating off of? Physical attraction. And I understand to be young, that's part of it. But so many times, we do not understand this simple word, love. Love. Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And you read nearly that entire chapter. And Paul will tell you about love. What it is. How it acts. How it affects you. What it causes you to do. Your attitude. Everything about you. In fact, at most weddings, I use 1 Corinthians 13. If that is the kind of love that exists between this young man and this young woman, or whatever age they are, is this how you feel toward one another? Love. Love is the sustainer. What keeps us serving God? Because we love Him. We love Him. And it is because of that love that we keep His commandments. That's what He said. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do what I want you to do. Live your life the way I want you to live it. Do we do that? You understand what you're reading there in 1 Corinthians 13? He said, love will never fail. One of the things he says, love will never fail. And it won't. It won't fail you. God's love for us will never fail. Ever. They had a tremendous tragedy just outside of Memphis a few days ago where a house caught on fire and I believe it was 7 people in that family lost their lives in that fire. And most of them were children. The father was not at home when it happened. And they were interviewing him. And how in the world you could interview somebody that had just lost that much of his family. And he said, I just don't understand how I'll go on with my life. And I don't know the answer to that. To lose a child, to lose a family member in such a tragic accident, and that many at one time. Boy, I'm going to tell you, the love of God would have to be strong there. And it would have to have a lot of consoling power, wouldn't it? But you know what? That's the wonderful thing about God. God is always there. He doesn't take a day off. He doesn't go on vacation. He's always there. This is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. 1 John 5 and verse 14. God. Prayer. Strength. I was talking to Tim and Nancy during the break this morning. And I don't know how we got on the conversation. But I made the statement to them, if I could hear my daddy pray again, if I could just hear my daddy pray again. And you know what? They said the very same thing. If I could just hear my daddy pray again. Those of us that have been blessed with good parents, how fortunate we are. How we have been blessed. And love. Why did our parents make these sacrifices for us? They loved us. They loved us. And God loves us. And we are to love one another. The Bible is filled with examples of love. The great story of love is found in the book of Ruth. Ruth will not leave her mother-in-law. The mother-in-law says, you know, my sons have died. Your husbands have died. I can't have any more sons for you to marry. Go back to your homeland. Go back to your families where you can find you another husband. And Ruth will not leave Naomi. Nope. I'm going to stay right here with you. That's love. That's love. Not for a mother, but a mother-in-law. Mother-in-law. She could have. Naomi advised her, but Ruth stayed out of love for her mother-in-law. Jonathan could have fought against his friend David over being king, but he didn't. Why? Because he loved him. He said, David, you'll be number one and I'll be number two. And that's all right. Is that all right with us? It was with Jonathan. He was willing to be second to David. Why? Because he loved him. He loved him. Do we? Why this disposition? Love. Love. Now you think about it. Pure and simple. Love. Don't tell me you love me. Show it and prove it. You know, a man can tell his wife all day long, I love you. But if he never shows it, then it's just words. Just words. I can tell God, God, I love you. But if I don't ever do anything, it's just words. Show it. Prove it. Hebrews 13 and verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Plain and simple. Let brotherly love continue. I think it is easy to see why brotherly love is so important in a congregation of God's people. There are going to be ups and downs. There's going to be peaks and valleys. There are going to be good times and there are going to be hard times. But now as long as love is there, it'll all work out. It'll all work out. You believe that? If you don't, then you take it up with God. Because God says it will. If you're in the building today and you have never obeyed the gospel of Christ, you do not know how to enjoy the love of God. You won't let it into your life. You will not repent. You will not confess. You will not be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's your fault, not God's. If you've done this and you look at your life today and you know that everything is not as it should be, we'd be proud to pray with you and for you if you'll come as we stand and as we sing.